Welcome to the Every Nation New York podcast. Every Nation exists to help people know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Enjoy the talk.
We're going to continue in our sermon series called Daniel's in the Book of Daniel's, Living Among the Lions. And before that, I also want to let everybody know that next month, we're going to be starting a new series next week, I should say, talking about the vision of the house, house habits, kind of who we are, what we're about, and how you as New Yorkers can get planted in the house of God and go out and change this city. Amen. So this morning, I just want to do a brief recap. What I'm going to do, I'm going to close this sermon series, but we're going to start in the Daniel chapter 12. We're going to be there. But what I'm going to do is I want to kind of hop back and forth between what we've talked about throughout the last couple of weeks, because I think there's some nuggets of truth maybe some of you may have missed along the way. And so in the beginning, when you start in the beginning, you see the children of Israel, they would sin and they would cry out and then God would rescue. So you saw this pattern. It kind of similar like you and I. We do some crazy things. We cry out, God deliver us, but then we go right back into it. But that's not the cycle that God has called us to be a part of. That's not the cycle. And so the big thing that God had said was, man, I'm kind of tired of this. This is not who we are and what I'm about. So he had to break up the party, if you will. And he sent a man in by the name of King Nebuchadnezzar to take the children of Israel captive into Babylon. And when they allowed in Babylon, they began to have their identity stripped and began to be placed into their culture. Sorry about that. Is that me or is that just because I move a lot? You want me to just stand still? But he purposed. You got to remember this. When they were in this situation, it said that they purposed in their heart. Say that purposed. They made a decision not to defile themselves as the things were being taken away from them, their culture, their identity, who they were as Hebrew boys and people. But the thing that I took from that was that they made a private decision and got a public reward. They made a private decision to follow God no matter what and got a public reward. You say, what was that public reward, Pastor? They became 10 times better. An excellent spirit was given to them because they chose before they got into the battle. And what happens is before you step foot into the arena, you have to make a decision. You got to pay a price in private. And because of that, God gave Daniel favor. Say this, favor ain't fair. He gave him favor with Nebuchadnezzar, and he gave him favor with Belshazzar. The favor that God gave him, it made him 10 times better with this gift to interpret dreams. And every time something crazy would happen, all of Nebuchadnezzar's men couldn't put this thing together, but they would call on Daniel to come and interpret his dream. But how many of you know when you're going to the top and all of a sudden God begins to bless you and take you from the back of the line to the front of the line in your business, in your corporation, or whatever it is you do, haters are going to hate. And hating is real. And Daniel had haters. And these haters began to get things together to try to make this man do some crazy things. But God turned the haters into spectators. Because what happened is God began to show up and began to show out in the situation. Whether it was Daniel in the lion's den, or if it was Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace, God began to do some great things. It said that he began to intervene in their situation. See, the thing that you and I have to understand is our God is alive and well, sitting at the right hand of the Father, and he intervenes on behalf of his people. And now they went from spectators to congratulators, because now they're congratulating Daniel, Meshach, and Shadrach because of who their God is. But you know what's amazing is, you can have all this activity going on in your life and God can be glorifying his name over you. And people still, for some reason, may not understand who God is and may not want to follow your God. But the key thing that I remembered about Nebuchadnezzar was in the midst of all of it, Nebuchadnezzar became a follower of God. He began to follow God because he realized, man, no matter how much power, no matter how much wealth, no matter what kind of name I have, the God of Daniel is the true God. But then you go and you turn and you think about Belshazzar, the God that had a lot of pride and a lot of arrogance, the God that God began to have to write on the wall and show him, you know what, some things are not right about you and about your kingdom. And you know what was crazy is that pride swelled up. He didn't know what to do, called Daniel. Daniel, interpret this dream. And you know what? He caught all the smoke of God, didn't he? He caught up all of God's, oh, I'll stop there because let me interpret smoke for you. You know, that's a terminology that we lose in the urban dictionary. Smoke is means that, you know, sometimes it gets real. And he caught all the wrath of God. And when he caught all the wrath of God, it meant that it ended his life. It was over. But you know what? God's got a plan. Because he raised up another king, and this king was Darius. And if there's anything you can learn about these men, and I need you to get this clear this morning, is that these men's small choices of obedience can lead to great impact. Small choices of obedience can lead to great impact. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus this morning, God, as we get into your word, Lord, I humbly ask that you would just give us a moment to pause. Not to worry about tomorrow. Not to worry about what's going to happen after church. But as we sit under your preached word, God, that you would inspire us to be great and to make an impact. Amen. Daniel 12:3, it says this, those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens. Those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever. Because these men chose to obey God, chose to do something in private, chose to make a decision, God honored them. He made them excellent. He not only made them excellent, but he gave them favor wherever they went. And the first point I want to make is this. You have to make a choice to obey God. You have to make a choice immediately. It can't be next week. It can't be tomorrow. It can't be when you're in the fiery furnace. It can't be when you're in the lion's den. You got to make a choice immediately. The Bible says, and Samuel says, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as obeying the voice of the Lord? It says this, behold, obedience is better than sacrifice. And the attentiveness is better than the fat of rams. Obedience is better than sacrifice. In order to get this gift, in order to be great, there's going to be moments in your life where you're going to have to sacrifice. I'm not saying compromise. I'm saying sacrifice. You're going to have to do things a little bit different than everybody else does. You may have to not go places people go. You may not get to do the things that they do. You may not get to go other things. But I know this, if you choose to obey God rather than man, if you choose to fear God over man, you'll become great. You'll become great. They chose not to defile themselves. What does that mean in their culture? Chose not to do the things of the Babylonian world. It says that they chose not to eat the king's meat. They chose to take care of the internal over the external. And that's very important because what goes inside of you and I, in our heart, in our mind, in our eyes, in our ears, surely enough will come out. And you must protect the internal. And these men said, I choose not to defile myself because of the Levitical law. The law said, don't eat what is unclean. They chose not to do it. It said that they had this custom of praying 3 times a day. You know what? Prayer changes things. That's why it's important to get up on a Friday night and come and pray with the brothers and sisters of the house of God. Because when you're praying on behalf of others, when you're calling on God on behalf of others, God shows up in your situation. Prayer. Daniel prayed 3 times a day, and he could care less what people thought about that because he chose to point his face towards Jerusalem and say, that's who I am, and that's who God is, and that's what he's called me to be, and this is what I'm going to do. And you know what? It cost him some things because he did this. The second point I want to make is this, is that they stood the test. They stood the test because when you begin to have favor on your life, and you begin to follow God, and God begins to elevate you, the test is surely going to come. God's going to try you to see, are you with me for me? Or are you with me for what you can get from me? I want you to know me for who I am, not for what I can give you. And so when the test comes, are you going to fold? Or are you going to stand up and fight and be the man or woman of God that he's called you to be? James chapter 1:1-4 says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you can encounter trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Allow perseverance to finish its work so that you may be mature and complete and not lacking anything. That trial is putting something down inside of you. That trial is putting something inside of you, because as you begin on this journey, your eyes are going to be open and you're going to begin to realize that this is not about you, but it's about those that are coming behind you. And so you need to take this fight and continue to walk the walk and talk the talk, just like the Migos said. They didn't bow in the fiery furnace when the test came. Will you bow when real pressure comes to your life? When somebody comes and asks you to compromise your faith, will you stand up and say, no, not me. Not me. I'm serving God no matter what. And even if he doesn't show up, I'm still going to give him the praise that is due his name. I'm still going to give him the praise that is due his name. And see, that's the difference between those three Hebrew boys and those other people. Everybody else bowed, but those people stood. And when they stood, God showed up in the fiery furnace. And I'm here to tell you this morning, God will show up in your fiery furnace if you choose to stand. Every time you say no and say, yes, Lord, he's right there with you and he's going to have your back no matter what. They didn't bow. The amazing thing about Daniel, when he was getting ready to go into the lion's den, already it had been done. It was told, you're going to the den, and you know what's going to happen when you get in the den. You're going to die. But it was amazing watching Daniel, because it said this, when he went to the den, before he got in, it said that he gave thanks. Now, what I want to understand is this, is that when you're in a trial, it's so important for you to give God thanks. It's so important to find the miracle situation in your dark place. You got to begin to thank God for things that he's done in the past, and you got to thank God for what he's doing right now. He said he began to thank God right before he was getting ready to be launched into the den of lions. And when you begin to thank God, you take your situation from the natural and you bring it up into the supernatural. And when you take it into the supernatural realm, God does something mighty. He will close the mouth of your accuser. He will close the mouth of anybody that's doing something negative or trying to harm you or keep you from being what God has created you to be, if you choose to give him praise and thanksgiving in the trial. Man, I ain't got no amens this morning. I'm preaching hard today, but I need some help out there. I need some amen, something. Throw a shoe up here, but give me something. You know, the amazing thing about them, they didn't become cynical. They didn't become arrogant. When God shows up on your behalf, favor starts to happen. You get blessed. You go from the back of the line to the front of the line. All of a sudden, you become the CEO, CFO of your community or whatever your organization is. You know what? They didn't get cynical. They just kept serving. They just kept serving God and following God. I'm going to be who I am. I'm not going to sit there and try, well, you know, my God showed up on my behalf. I'm blessed and highly favored. Too bad for you. No, they didn't say that. No. They just said, you know what? We're going to be who God has called us to be in this land. And we're going to serve God. And you know what? We're going to not just serve God, but we're going to serve the people that don't even know God. And we're going to do it with a right spirit. We're going to do it with an excellent spirit. And it's amazing, as you begin to do those things for God, you begin to do things with a right spirit, an excellent spirit, he's just going to keep blessing you. He's just going to keep elevating you, because you begin to realize it ain't about me. It's about God. Y'all quiet this morning, man. Y'all quiet. Golly. Deuteronomy 31:6. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. Say them. Yeah. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. You got to understand, when you're going through a test or a trial, your God is not going to leave you there for long. You may have a mountain in front of you. Some of you may have mountain ranges, but it's okay, because if you keep moving forward in Christ, he's going to take care of you. He's going to bless you. He's going to be there with you. But you got to keep moving forward and be obedient. Small choices of obedience can lay to great impact. And reason I keep going back to this word of great impact is because as you're going through a trial and that pressure is coming, there's something about godly pressure as it begins to build up. It gets stronger and stronger and stronger. Has anybody ever tried to push a beach ball down in the ocean? It don't work. And a matter of fact, the harder you press down, the stronger it is to come back up. And so when the enemy's pressing down on you, he's trying to beat you down. He's trying to make you less than. All of a sudden, all you're doing is getting stronger and stronger and stronger. Before you know it, you're going to blow the roof off that thing and go from way from the back to the front and be the man or woman of God he's called you to be. Small choices of obedience can lead to great impact. And we're talking about an impact, not just an impact that just is for the day. Not just an impact for the week, not just an impact for the month or even the year. No, I'm talking about an impact that carries on into generation after generation. My third point is they responded to the call. And see, God is calling you and I to be salt and light in a dark world. And there's moments where you want to get out of here. I know. There's moments when I'm like, Pastor Nathan and Pastor Bruce, I'm tired of New York. I'm tired of New Jersey. I'm tired of the Northeast. I want to go home. Home for me is down south where everything's slow. And we just talk slow. But up here, man, it's fast. Everything is moving. Everybody is going. I said, man, can we stop and talk? No, I got to get there. Slow down. Smell the roses. What's your name? How's your mom doing? You know, just talk, but ain't none of that. But you know what? They wanted to leave. They weren't a part of Babylon. They were called to Jerusalem. They were called to some other place, but they chose to stay. They responded to the call. And that prophetic word from Jeremiah was, no, hey, don't leave. You plant right here. You plant right here. Just like God is saying for you and I, plant right here. Stay in this city. Roll up your sleeves. Get bold. Man, take the land. Multiply. Get the best jobs. You know what? Become excellent. Do what God has called you to do. Win people to Jesus. You know what? Tell them about the Lord, and you watch what God will do for you. You watch. He said to plant and build. And so as these men began to sow and to get still, see, there's something about being planted in the house of God. And when you begin to build, God begins to download supernatural things into your mind. Now, I'm going to go deep on this one. Because as Daniel began to plant and Daniel began to build, God began to download the supernatural things of God to him. He began to show him things about the future. He began to tell him about things of the end times. He began to give him revelation. He began to speak those secret things to him. And there's amazing that when you all of a sudden are planted, the Bible says in Amos 3:7, surely the sovereign Lord does not withhold revealing his plan to his servants, the prophets. See, God has a plan. He has a plan, not just for you, but for others. He has a plan that, man, if you just lock in, the plan is always better than what you think it's going to be. See, the enemy's scheme is this. The enemy's scheme is to show you. He paints a great picture. He's a great artist. And what he'll do in your mind, he'll paint some pictures and say, oh, if you stay here, this is how it's going to be. If you stay here, here how it's going to go. And all of a sudden, you begin to, that's a nice painting. Man, that's night art's work. And you begin to believe what you see. But I'm here to tell you today, just like Pastor Bruce said, we're called to walk by faith and not by sight. And so no matter how bad the painting is, if you go behind the canvas, you're going to see something great. You're going to see the blessing of the Lord on the other side if you choose to stay and you begin to build. If you choose to stay and you begin to build, all of a sudden, things begin to be downloaded. I got a friend of mine that came to Christ here a couple years ago in New Jersey that I get to pastor. And he said, Pastor, man, I'm not an educated man. All I have is a high school education, but I believe God has called me to have my own business. And I told him, man, it don't matter. If you serve God and you get planted, he's going to bless you and give you the desires of your heart. And this man locked in, and he went to work. And see, a lot of people, you don't understand sometimes that God is drawn to hard work. See, when you begin to work hard, and you're doing it with an excellent spirit, and you're serving people, and you're going above and beyond. You're showing up to church on time. Man, you're taking up the offering. Man, you're doing it over here on the side, doing the sound. Man, you're back there with the children. That car said that act crazy down there, but you down there with them anyway. You know what? You do these things, and you begin to bless, and you begin to serve God. All of a sudden, those things, he begins to, as you take care of his house, now he's going to come behind and begin to take care of your house. And I began to watch this man serve and do the things of God. And God began to give him wisdom and give him strategy. And all of a sudden now, he's getting ready to own his own company. He's getting ready to have his own business. He's getting ready to be the boss of his life in the sense of, man, I'm calling the shots. Nobody's calling the shots for me. And he said, Pastor, I can't believe this. This is really getting ready to happen. But it all goes back because he chose to plant and he chose to build. He didn't leave. He stayed. Mark Batterson's book called Primal. Men, I encourage you to get this book. We're going through this with our men out in New Jersey. And in this story, he brings up the situation about a God idea, a God idea. And he says, good ones talk about it. You ever get an idea and you tell, I got this idea, Pastor Bruce. I got this idea. Man, this idea came to me. I was thinking about this. And you got this idea. He says, man, anybody can get an idea. And he called it a God idea. Anybody can get a God idea, but the good ones talk about it and the great ones actually go and do it. And he tells a story about a man by the name of Nolan Bushnell. It's a crazy name, I know. And Nolan said this, everyone who's ever taken a shower has an idea. But it's the person who gets out of the shower, dries off, and does something about his what he's heard or thought of that's going to go make a difference. Now, you and I, as I'm reading this, you may not recognize that name. I didn't when I read it, but it says this. It says that this man, God gave him an imagination, this creative thought of a gaming system called Atari. And so all these little kids that are playing PS4 and Xbox, and they got all these gaming systems, he was the founder. He was the one that started it all. And he said it was in the shower, all of a sudden I got this thought of how to build this gaming system. Not only did he stop there, but he said, you know what? I love children so much that I want to bless them. He went and established 500 Chuck E. Cheese's. Any Chuck E. Cheese people in the house? Yeah, my kids know about Chuck E. Cheese. I spent a lot of money there. I should have got investment in Chuck E. Cheese. 500 of them. But the question I have for you this morning is, can God trust you with the secrets? Can God trust you with the real secrets of finances? Can God trust you with the real secrets of health? Can God trust you with education, politics, trends, and the nations? Can God trust you just simply with his people? And if you want the divine wisdom of God, you need to get planted. You need to begin to build. You need to get into the fabric of the community. And you need to say, yes, Lord, I'll respond to the call. These reasons that God could trust Daniel with his secrets is because he would obey God. And not only would he obey God, but he would give God the glory. And sometimes we get the breakthrough. We get the blessing. All of a sudden, we get what we want. And then we forget God. All of a sudden, it's about you now. Now you got the nice house, Park Avenue. I'm here, baby. Now you got the Bentley. Now you rolling around and you got the title. But then all of a sudden you forget where you came from. You forget how hard it was to get what you have. You all of a sudden forgot God. And you at the top of the mountain sitting there thinking it's you. But see, God knew, I mean, I can trust you, Daniel, with the visions and the things of the future. I can talk to you about things that other people can't handle. Because I can trust you. Because I know when you get to where you're going, you're going to give me the glory. Number four, it's not about you. And I'm closing. It's not about you. A lot of people don't understand that. Your trial is not about you. Your tribulation is not about you. Your hurt, your pain, it's real. Get me. I understand pain, but it's not about you. See, if you can get through your pain, you can get through your hurt, you can get through your trials, and you can get through your tribulations. Man, on the other side is the impact. And see, the impact that these men made, The impact because they chose not to bow. The impact that they chose not to leave. The impact to stay. The impact that they made is that God used these men to usher others back to Jerusalem for the rebuilding. And see, if you can understand, like the Bible says in John 15, 13, there's no greater love than a man to lay down one's life for his friends. If you're willing to lay down your life and you understand it's not about you, but it's about the love of God. I'm doing what I do because I love God and I love his people. And I'm willing to take the hit so that others behind me can get to where God's calling them to go. And if you're willing to lay down your life, you're willing to say, Lord, it's not about me, but it's about you. And I'm willing to throw up my hands and say, yes, Lord, to the call. I'm saying, yes, Lord, I'll obey. Yes, Lord, I'll go. Yes, Lord, I'll stay. I'll do whatever you're calling me to do. Man, blessing is coming, and those behind you will be able to get there as well. And I'm going to say something to a lot of y'all in here. Just because you got a bunch of Twitter followers don't make you a leader. See, leaders pay a price. And I got one more thing. I'm getting it all out today. Getting it all out. So many people want a seat at the table, Pastor Bruce. I deserve a seat at the table. But understand, if you get a seat at the table, you got to respect the people that built the table. And so many people, man, I deserve this and I deserve that. Well, you know what? In order to get to the table, you got to serve. You got to give up something. You got to give up your identity. You got to give up all these things in order to be great. And that's what Daniel did. I'm willing to sacrifice. I'm willing to obey God and be the man or the woman that God has called me to be. And because of that, God elevated him. He made an impact. God honored Daniel and the Hebrews for living a worthy lives of resisting evil and changing the world. And at the end of this journey, many Jews started going back to Jerusalem. And it all was happened because of the favor of Daniel that he had with Darius. And Ezra, Nehemiah, and others went back. Think about that. Ezra, Nehemiah, and others went back and paved the way. And so my point is this, if there's anything these men did, small choices of obedience can lead to great impact. How much should you and I make an impact with the greater one living in us? The greater one living in us. If I got Jesus in me, then I'm a willing vessel to make an impact in New York City. I'm a willing vessel to go above and beyond whatever God has called me to go above and beyond and make this impact, not just for me, but impacting my family, my community, my city, my campus, and my nation, and all for the glory of God. Can I get an amen?
Thanks again for joining us at Every Nation New York City, where our vision is to partner with God and people to transform the city one life at a time.